If you are wondering who the true God is, He's the God of the Bible. He's the only one that's great. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. If you're just joining us for the first time today, we're going through a series in the Gospel of Mark, and we are now in chapter 4, and it's about Jesus the King, calling people to be in His kingdom. Beginning in verse 1 of Mark chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around Him was so large that He got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in His teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' When He was alone, the 12 and the others around Him asked about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever hearing, ever seeing, but never perceiving. Ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven.' Then Jesus said to them, Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." It's in our call to worship that we read, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." Let me pray. Lord, we now come to this portion of the service, and we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to us with power, that we might not just hear the word, but that we'll hear the word and accept it, and that you will teach us who we are, that you'll reveal who we are, that you will give us faith to believe in Jesus. Thank you for the rescue mission of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the hope of the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, I ask that you would convert those who are here this morning that need to hear it for the first time in a new way. We ask that you would do it for your glory, and because you alone are powerful, we rest in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Jesus is teaching in parables here. This is a common way of teaching in the New Testament. A parable literally is a story alongside. So a parable is actually two stories going on at once. There is the story that you hear at face value, the story about a farmer who's sowing seed, which is a common scene at the end of the summer. When the weather began to cool, a farmer would go out and begin to sow barley. He would throw out the seed. It was very common, and he would throw it everywhere. And so the people hearing this would have been very familiar with what Jesus was talking about. You hear the story of the farmer, but then there's a story that's alongside it. And the purpose of that story is to reveal the nature of the kingdom of God. That it is to reveal the nature of who Jesus Christ and His ministry is. But it's also made to reveal our relationship to the kingdom and to the King. You see, a parable, one writer says, is like a mirror that shows us our true reflection. Jesus was the most powerful teacher. The parable is kind of like my experience at Hollywood Studios on the Tower of Terror. Now, I'm not going to tell a Disney World illustration every week, I promise you. Just bear with me. It's fresh on my brain. But at Hollywood Studios, there's a ride called the Tower of Terror that I rode in order to protect my ego, my masculinity, all those various things, because everyone in my family wanted to ride it. And so I did it begrudgingly with great terror. It's aptly named. It's the right name. It is the Tower of Terror. And I rode on the ride, and it's basically, just imagine this. Imagine being in an elevator and falling 13 floors several times. Doesn't that sound like fun? I mean, God really created us to fall like that. And it's the most terrible, just thinking about it makes my palms sweaty. But I'm on the ride, and I get off the ride, and I was like, yeah, that wasn't so bad, because I really want to act like I was, you know, that wasn't so scary. Woo-hoo, let's do it again. Never. And I ride the ride, but the truth of my response and the truth of how I reacted that ride was revealed. Because when you walk out, there are 6 or 7 monitors, and they take pictures of you falling 13 floors. And so there is this picture. And just imagine this monitor, and people are walking out just going, oh, there we are, there we are. And I'm kind of just, let's go, let's go, let's go. Imagine this picture, and there's this young girl, probably 6 or 7 years old, smiling from ear to ear, with her hands in the air, enjoying this ride. This is the most fun she's ever had in her life. But off to the side, there's a grown man, and his face is buried in his wife's shoulder. And he is crying like a little baby. Here's the point. The picture revealed what I really felt and thought about that ride. And here's what God is going to do to us this morning. In telling these parables, Jesus Christ is going to reveal your heart. It's profound yet simple. He is going to reveal what type of soul you are. And that's the title of the sermon today. 4 points. That try to answer the question, which type of soil are you? Which type of soil are you? Or which type of heart? Because that's what Jesus is saying. 1, do you have a hard heart? 2, do you have a shallow heart? 3, do you have a divided heart? Or 4, do you have a fruitful heart? We're trying to answer that question because that was the reason Jesus taught these parables. Let's look at the first, the hard heart or the hard soil. Keep your Bibles open and see in verse 3. Listen. And when Jesus said listen, that means you listen. Listen. A farmer went to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. And then Jesus explains it in verse 13. If you'll look down at verse 13, Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Here's a profile of the hard heart, of the hard soil. That parent, that friend, that spouse, that son or daughter that has heard the gospel over and over and over again, but there is no response at all. If there is a response, it's a negative, get out of my face response. Why don't you stop being such a Jesus freak response? They hear the word, and it never penetrates into the soil. Like water off a duck's back is what Jesus is describing here. The seed has been thrown out again and again and again, and you have left sermons in their car, right? Tapes, CDs, MP3s. You have left John Piper books on their chairs. And they become a place to set their coffee on. You've been there. You're excited about Christmas time and Easter because you can't wait because my mom or my dad or my brother or sister, they're going to come here, and you're hearing the sermon. You're kind of looking down over and over again. Here we go. And you find yourself really moved by the sermon and wanting to sing hallelujah. But they're just as blank as they always have been. And Jesus is describing that person here. You've worn yourself out, and they don't seem to care. They are like the seed that fell along the path. The seed hits and it bounces, and the birds come and pick it up. Jesus says that Satan comes and snatches it away. Jesus Christ was aware of the spiritual realm that is around us and around humanity all the time, the battle that goes on. That it's Satan that goes to the hard heart and snatches it away. Never makes any change. Here's how we try to rationalize it. Oh, they're such good people. Oh. You ever said this? They would make such good Christians. They're hardworking. Most of them are. They love their families, but they just don't believe it. I wish they would believe it. Are you there? Do you know what that's like? I do. Or maybe we do this. We try and demand that they act like Christians. We look at our children. We look at our spouses. And you're so frustrated. Why don't you treat me better? Why don't you love me more? You need to act a certain way. And you're banging your head up against the wall over and over again. Or you call the pastor and say, will you please meet with so-and-so and let them have it. I've gotten that one. Let them have it. Is change their behavior. Have you ever wanted someone to act like a Christian? And here's the fact. Here's what we're trying to face this morning. They're not Christians. The reason that people do not want to come to church most of the time, never want to show any love or adoration for Jesus Christ, never want to read God's word, it's not just because they're lazy. Often that's an issue. It's because Paul says in Romans 8:7 that the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. The real condition of people who hear the gospel and never accept the message, the reason that they're like that is because, here it is, they hate God. Man by nature hates God. Is that the most outrageous thing you've ever heard? That's what the Bible says. They hate God because God is a ruler. Jesus is a ruler. He's a king who's coming to proclaim a kingdom, and he is the greatest threat to their autonomy. Mankind hates God. Your parent, your uncle, your cousin, your friend, your spouse that never shows any response to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the reality is they are hostile to Jesus Christ. So what do? You keep praying. You keep being the Jesus freak that comes to Thanksgiving, right? Now don't be obnoxious. There are times to share the gospel with people And pray that God would give you those times. There are times to expose those people, but expose the gospel to those people. But we need to stop expecting people who are not converted to live like they are converted and to begin to pray for their conversion. That's called Christian realism. And Jesus got it. That's why he's telling his disciples, you're going to go out and you're going to preach the gospel and it's going to bounce off some people's heads because they have hard hearts. The irony is, if you're here today and all you want to do is leave, and all you ever want to do is leave, all you want to do is get out of here and you just want this Christian religious thing to be over so that they'll stop bugging you about it, my friend, you're in danger. And it's not me that's convicting you. It's Jesus Christ. Because the word is being thrown out this morning. That's why Jesus says, let him who has ears to hear, hear. That's the hard heart. Which soil are you? The second, the shallow heart. The shallow heart. Jesus defines and gives us a profile of the shallow heart. Verse 5, some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Verse 16, like seeds sown on rocky places, they hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. These are the people that try Christianity on. You go to Christianity because Christianity seems to offer some fulfillment, some acceptance, some comfort, some hope, and you go and try it on. And then they try it on and they don't like the way it looks after a while. And so they leave. He's describing the seed that's thrown among the rocky places, and it springs up quickly, but there is no root, and the sun scorches it. It's shallow because they never have the word penetrate deep enough to where it forms roots. They jump from one thing to the next. I can remember a guy that was in Little Rock when I was growing up, and he seemed to have a different persona, a different style, a different group each month or each week. One day he would be like Cowboy. We'll call him John, Cowboy John. And then the next time I'd see him, he'd be like Punk John. I mean, literally, it would be that drastic. He would have like the spiky hair and the whole thing. And what happened to Cowboy John? Oh, Cowboy's so lame. And then a little bit later, you'd see him and he was like a freak. Whatever a freak is. You couldn't define it. And then he would be sort of a preppy guy. He was constantly changing. He was looking so desperately. Can't you relate to that? I can. He was looking so desperately, so earnestly. He was trying to find himself. And he jumped from one thing to the next. It's like going to your favorite bookstore. You ever go to the spirituality section of your bookstore? It's like the Chili's sampler platter. Right? Have a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of this. You have your Islam, Christianity, New Age, which is sort of a grab bag, right? Scientology. The one with the shallow heart is the one that's constantly trying to find that thing that will give them meaning, that will give them hope, but they jump from one thing to the next. It's like trying to find hope and peace in your exercise or in your diet. You just try Christianity on too. It has no depth. It works for a little while. Here's what one pastor said. The flesh here is the real problem. The sinful heart can lead people to respond to the gospel only because they want blessing and comfort. When any real trials or difficulty comes, their superficial faith melts away. How many times have you been excited? I have. How many times have you been excited about a movie star or a rock star or an athlete going through a Christian phase? Like, yes, Christianity is actually going to be cool now because X star is a Christian now. And then you find out a little bit later they're no longer Christians because something happened and they don't believe in Christianity anymore. There was just a phase of Christianity. Let me ask you this question. Are you just trying Christianity on? You see, Christianity is not a place that you just stop and try it on. Christianity is a relationship with the triune, eternal God. It's not a program. That's the shallow heart. Which heart are you? Which soil are you? What about the divided heart? Look at verse 18 with me. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. The picture that Jesus is giving us here, the seed of the gospel is sown among the seed of the thorns, and they're growing up at the same time, and they're in competition with each other. Folks, this soil scares me the most. For me and for you. Stuff and power is what makes the world go round. And to have stuff and power and the desire for stuff is a constant need in my heart and in my life. And I feel this competition. Especially in an affluent culture like we live in. You see Jesus taking the picture of your heart right now? The divided heart. The seed of desire and lust grow right up next to a desire for Jesus. And one desire will win. Jesus is describing the rich young ruler who came to him, who rejects Jesus in the end because he was very rich. That's why Jesus Christ says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because life is so good here. It's why it's so dangerous here. Jesus isn't saying that riches are bad, but if they are your heart, they are dangerous to you spiritually. Walker Percy, one of my favorite writers who I'll quote from time to time, wrote a novel called The Moviegoer. Binks is the main character of The Moviegoer, and he has an uncle named Jules, and they live in New Orleans. And I think Uncle Jules is a great description of many of us. Listen to Percy's description of Uncle Jules. Uncle Jules is the only man I know whose victory in the world is total and unqualified. He's made a great deal of money. He has a great many friends. He was Rex of Mardi Gras. He gives freely of himself and his money. He is an exemplary Catholic. And just take out Catholic and put Presbyterian in there. He's an exemplary Presbyterian. But it's hard to know why he takes the trouble. For the world that he lives in, the city of man, is so pleasant that the city of God must hold little in store for him. I see his world plainly through his eyes. I see why he loves it and why he would want to keep it as it is. A friendly, easygoing place of old world charm and new world business methods where people have the good sense to behave pleasantly toward each other. No shadow ever crosses his face. Except when someone raises the subject of last year's Tulane LSU game. Jesus is showing a picture of what's inside. There's so many that look the part. We have all the trappings. We fit the profile. But the city of man is so pleasant and is so strong that the city of God, God's kingdom, Jesus Christ and what he's offering to us seems to pale in comparison to it. Do you feel the struggle? Jesus is so loving that he would teach like this. Jesus is saying, you cannot serve both. You will serve one and you will hate the other. Richie, you cannot define yourself by your ministry and a big church where everyone loves you and love me. How many of us see ourselves in this soil? It's one that you just want to walk by as you see the monitor, right? Look at your worries. When Jesus says those worries choke out the word, he's telling us that the things that we worry about are the things that we worship. The things that control us. And he's revealing those things in our hearts right now. Which takes us to point number 4. A fruitful heart. Don't you want to be a fruitful heart? Don't you desperately want to be a fruitful heart? If you want to be a fruitful heart, that's really good. That's really good. That's good because the hard heart and the shallow heart and the divided heart, they're not marked by wanting to be converted. Verse 20. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. I want to list a few things about the fruitful heart that you so desperately want and I so desperately want. And if we don't have the fruitful, soft heart, we don't have Jesus. The first thing about the fruitful heart that Jesus is telling us is that it truly listens to Jesus. When Jesus says, they hear the word and accept the word, he is using language here that means they intently stop and listen to what this man is saying. They look and they think and they accept and they wrestle with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And where is the gospel of Jesus Christ revealed? It's here in this word. Fruitful soil listens to the Bible. Deep listening. Considering what Jesus Christ has said. Because it's very easy to think that you've heard this and think that you get the gospel and not get it. But to wrestle and to think through the applications of what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Have you listened to that? Not righteous, but sinners. What is Jesus saying to you? You're not good enough. That Jesus Christ took the sting out of death, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians. What does that say about your death? That Jesus Christ is going to raise you up on the last day, that you do not need to despair over death itself. Are you listening to what he's saying about death? Are you listening to what Jesus Christ is saying about your worries? When Jesus Christ tells us over and over again, do not worry about this life. Okay, Jesus, I got you. Do not worry about this life. Excuse me, I'm kind of busy. I'm busy worrying about my life. He says, do not worry about this life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Do not worry. But we go off and worry. Jesus says, listen to me. Here's why you don't need to worry. I own everything. And I own you. And the only reason your pulse is beating right now is because I'm giving you a pulse. And you take that in. And the next time you go to a funeral, you look at death a different way. You look at your work a different way. You look at your friends a different way. And you look at your enemies a different way. Because you are someone who has been loved by God. You listen to Jesus. You don't listen like Richie Sessions does a lot of times to his wife. I'm not a great listener. Men, do you suffer from this affliction? Am I the only one? Richie, I need you to get this, that, and this from Kroger. Okay, got it. Nope, you don't got it. She uses better English than that. Nope, you're not listening to me. Are you listening to me? I want you to stop what you're doing. Will you please put the remote control down? Will you please stop playing your guitar, staring at the ceiling? I want you to listen to me. Here's the point. Listening is painful. And here's what I think God is telling us, what Jesus Christ is telling us in this passage. If you are good soil, if you want to be good soil, He alone can make you good soil. You cannot create that in your heart. But one of the ways you know if you're good soil, God is telling us, IPC, hush. Hush. Stop telling me what you think of me. And I want you to listen to me. You hush. We listen and we accept. The second thing is there's gradual growth. To understand fruitful soil, understand that it is gradual growth. That's the secret of the kingdom. Jesus gives the secret of the kingdom and He says it's like a seed. Seeds grow slowly, don't they? Often invisible to the naked eye. We don't see what's going on underneath the soil. It's not going to happen all at once. You don't arrive at your destination at once. You don't plant a seed and then the next day you have this full-grown orange tree, right? It just doesn't work that way. So Jesus gives the secret. Here's what it's like. You plant a seed and it grows like a seed. But I'm someone that wants everything assembled. I don't want to put it together. Don't you want the toys to come already assembled with the batteries? But Jesus is giving us this secret. This is what He's saying. Here's what the growth of the kingdom looks like. It's gradual and it's slow and it's often invisible to the naked eye. Be patient with yourself and be patient with others, but ultimately realize God works the way God wants to work. My mother was just telling me about this. Her Aunt Sissy, my great Aunt Sissy, just died. Isn't that a great name, Aunt Sissy? She was some 88 years old, lived in Atlanta, Texas. She was the first person to ever tell my mother about Jesus Christ. My mom did not grow up in a home where they just went to church and heard the gospel all the time. So the first place she ever heard about Jesus Christ, when she was about 10 years old, it would have been 1960, she heard about Jesus Christ from Aunt Sissy, and she'll never forget it. But it wasn't until the fall of 1981 that a shoot burst through the dirt. The lights came on. And she was converted. She was growing underneath the surface all the time. But it wasn't until the date that God decided to really turn the lights on where she could understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is such an encouraging story for me to hear. Do you know why? Because songs that I heard when I was 10... didn't bear fruit until I was 25. I never got this growing up because I thought I would go to church camp, right? You thought you'd go to church camp and this is going to be the year. It's going to take. I'm going to become a true Christian. I am not going to do any of those terrible, awful, wicked things that you'll never know about anymore. I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk the aisle. I'll dedicate my life 12 times. If there are 12 opportunities, I'll rededicate my life 12 times. And I'm going to go back to Little Rock. I'm going to get on that bus. I'm going to drive back to Little Rock. And I am going to be an all-star for Jesus. And it never happened the way I wanted it to. Because I realized God was at work. And the growth was gradual. Here's the point. Don't ever stop praying for your kids. Don't ever take for granted the Bible stories or the songs that you sing. Don't ever take for granted anything that God uses to bring His gospel into people's lives. Don't ever forget it, because God may be doing something you cannot see, because the growth in the kingdom is gradual and slow. Finally, the fruitful heart is humble. The fruitful heart is a humble heart. The fruitful heart is humble, first and foremost, Because the fruitful heart realizes you can't change your soil. And so if God is going to change your soil, if He's going to change your heart, He's going to have to do it. It is His sovereign will, His sovereign grace. He's the only one that can change your heart. You can't do it. So you're totally dependent upon Him. And so are the people that you tell the gospel to. And so are the people that you love. And so are the people that you preach to. You know what encourages me so much every single Sunday that I get up here? That I'm not responsible for your conversion. Hallelujah. I do not have the skill, the oratorial skill, to convert you and to make your soil soft. But you know who does? God. The Holy Spirit. He is like a hurricane. And you can forecast a hurricane coming, but you can't stop it. And if the Holy Spirit's coming after you, you can't stop Him. That makes you humble. See, Jesus holds a mirror up to our lives just like He held up to Peter. Peter the rock. You don't think Jesus had a sense of humor? Of course Jesus had a sense of humor. He finds the most pig-headed, stiff-necked, quick-to-speak, fiery guy, and He calls him a rock. That's hilarious. Peter, rock. Peter said, "I will never deny you." Famous last words. "Even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I am the best disciple. These other wannabes, I'm sorry, it's just me and you, Jesus. Let's go take the world by storm. Watch, I'm going to cut off a guy's ear." Jesus was real impressed with that. Put the guy's ear back on. And Jesus said, "Peter, you are going to deny me because who you really are is a divided heart and a hard heart and a shallow heart." And you know what Jesus Christ did to Peter? He broke him into a million little pieces. And you ask the question, "God, what are you doing with me right now? Why have you not answered my prayers and my dreams? Why are my dreams not coming true? Why am I going through all this hardship? Why am I dealing with my issues? Why am I struggling so much? Why am I so brokenhearted? Why is work so hard? Why is the economy so lame? Why are you doing this in my life? I don't understand it." And you realize the best gift that God can give you and to give me is to break us into a million little pieces. To make us into soft, fertile soil. And the fruit begins to spring up. And it's supernatural. It looks like this. Love. You love people that you never loved before. And you actually love Jesus of Nazareth. This Jew who lived 2,000 years ago that you still believe is alive. Love. Joy. When you hear a song like "How Great Thou Art," you have joy in your heart. That is fruit that God is giving. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Gentleness. Self-control. These are all fruits that Jesus gives to the fruitful heart. I conclude with this. Do you feel weak? There's nothing weaker than seed falling into the ground. You feel broken. Do you know the desperation that comes from knowing you can't change yourself, you can't change your own heart? Listen to Ezekiel 11:19. "I will give them an undivided heart," the Lord says. "I will put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." What type of soil are you? What type of soil are you? At his conversion, John Newton said he was on a ship. John Newton's the man who wrote Amazing Grace. He was on a ship and he realized he almost dies and he realizes that he needs to be converted. He realizes that he stands before a holy God and he deserves God's wrath and he needs to be rescued. And so he comes to a portion of Scripture that he listens to. And he listens to it over and over again. And it's Luke 11:3. It says, ask for the Holy Spirit. And when you ask for the Holy Spirit, you're like a child asking for bread. Ask for the Holy Spirit. And so you know what John Newton did? He asked, and he asked, and he asked, and he asked. Lord, you say, give me, you say that I'm supposed to ask for the Holy Spirit, so I'm asking you, I'm asking you, I'm asking you. I'm about to pray. And if you're here today and you need to ask for the Holy Spirit, I want you to follow along with me in your prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you taught us to pray and to ask for the Holy Spirit. You said that anyone who asks for the Holy Spirit, you will give it to them. Because you're a father that gives good gifts. You're not like earthly father. You're so much better. But even an earthly father, when their son asks for bread, you will not give them a rock. You will not give them a scorpion when they ask for an egg. When they ask for bread, you will give them bread. And so, Lord, I ask for the Holy Spirit. Would you make us good soil, fruitful soil, so that we could spring up with the fruits of the Spirit, with a life that is a testimony to your power and your grace. We ask for it because you alone can give it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.